Welcome to day 139 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host, coming to you from East Africa. We are broadcasting today from the nation of Tanzania. And today we're going to share from 2 Samuel chapter 19, 20, and 21. We are reading from the Amplified Bible this week. So beginning at 2 Samuel chapter 19, starting at verse 1. It was told Joab, "Behold, the king is weeping and mourning for Absalom." So the victory that day was turned into mourning for all the people, for they heard it said, "The king grieves for his son." The people slipped into the city stealthily that day as humiliated people steal away when they flee in battle. But the king covered his face and cried with a loud voice, "Oh, my son Absalom! Oh, Absalom, my son, my son!" And Joab came into the house to the king and said, "You have today covered the faces of all your servants with shame. Who this day have saved your life and the lives of your sons and your daughters and the lives of your wives and concubines? For you love those who hate you and hate those who love you. You have declared today that princes and servants are nothing to you. For today I see that if Absalom had lived and all the rest of us had died, you would be well pleased. So now arise. Go out and speak kindly and encouragingly to your servants, for I swear by the Lord that if you do not go out, not a man will remain with you this night, and this will be worse for you than all the evil that has befallen you from your youth until now." Then the king arose and sat in the gate, and all his followers were told, "The king is sitting in the gate," and they all came before the king. Now Israel, Absalom's troops, had fled, every man to his home. And all the people were at strife throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, "The king delivered us from the hands of our enemies, and he saved us from the hands of the Philistines. And now he has fled out of the land from Absalom. And Absalom, whom we anointed over us, is dead in battle. So now, why do you say nothing about bringing back the king?" And King David sent to Zadok and Abiathar the priests, saying, "Say to the elders of Judah, why are you the last to bring the king back to his house, when the word of all Israel has come to the king to bring him to his house? You are my kinsmen, you are my bone and my flesh. Why then are you the last to bring back the king? And say to Amasa, are you not of my bone and of my flesh? May God do so to me and more also, if you are not commander of my army hereafter in place of Joab." He inclined the hearts of all the men of Judah as one man. So they sent word to him, "Return, you and all your servants." So David returned and came to the Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to meet the king, to conduct him over the Jordan. And Shimei, son of Gera, a Benjamite of Bahurim, hastily came down with the men of Judah to meet King David, and 1,000 men of Benjamin with him. And Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and 20 servants with him, rushed to the Jordan and pressed quickly into the king's presence. And there went over a ferry boat to bring over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei, son of Gera, fell down before the king as David came to the Jordan and said to the king, "Let not my lord impute iniquity to me and hold me guilty, nor remember what your servant did the day my lord went out of Jerusalem," when Shimei grossly insulted David. "May the king not take it to heart. For your servant knows that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I am today the first of all of the house of Joseph to come down to meet my lord the king." But Abishai, son of Zeruiah, said, "Shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed?" David said, What have I to do with you, you sons of Zariah, that you should be an adversary to me today? Shall anyone be put to death today in Israel? For do not I know that I am this day king over Israel? Therefore the king said to Shimei, you shall not die at my hand. And the king gave him his oath. Mephibosheth, the son, grandson of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had not dressed his feet, trimmed his beard, or washed his clothes from the day the king left until he returned in peace and safety. And when he came to Jerusalem to meet the king, David said to him, why did you not go with me, Mephibosheth? He said, my lord, O king, my servant Ziba deceived me. For I said, saddle me the donkey that I may ride on it and go to the king, for your servant is lame. But he took the donkey and left without me. He has slandered your servant to my lord the king, but the king is as an angel of God, so do what is good in your eyes. For all of my father's house was but doomed to death before my lord the king. Yet you set your servant among those who ate at your own table. What right, therefore, have I to cry any more to the king? The king said to him, why speak any more of your affairs? I say, you and Ziba divide the land. Mephibosheth said to the king, oh, let him take it all, since my lord the king has returned home in safety and peace. Now Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Rogelim and went on to the Jordan with the king to conduct him over the Jordan. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old, and he had provided the king with food while he remained at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. And the king said to Barzillai, come over with me, and I will provide for you with me in Jerusalem. And Barzillai said to the king, how much longer have I to live, that it would be worthwhile for me to go up with the king to Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old. Could I now be useful as a counselor to discern between good and evil? Can your servant appreciate what I eat or drink? Can I any longer enjoy the voices of singing men and women? Why then should your servant be still a burden to my lord the king? Your servant will only go over the Jordan with the king. Why should the king repay me with such a reward? Let your servant turn back again, that I may die in my own city and be buried by the grave of my father and mother. But here is your servant Chimham. Let him go over with my lord the king, and do to him what shall seem good to you. The king answered, Chimham shall go over with me, and I will do to him what seems good to you, and whatever you ask of me, I will do for you. So all the people went over the Jordan. When the king had crossed over, he kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and the great man returned to his own place. Then the king went on to Gilgal, and Chimham went with him, and all the people of Judah, and also half the people of Israel escorted the king. And all the men of Israel came to the king and said to him, why have our kinsmen, the men of Judah, stolen you away and have brought the king and his household over the Jordan and all David's men with him? But all the men of Judah answered the men of Israel, because the king is near kin to us. Why then be angry about it? Have we eaten at all at the king's expense, or has he given us any gift? Then the men of Israel answered the men of Judah, we have 10 tribes' shares in the king, and we have more right to David than you have. Why then did you despise and ignore us? Were we not the first to speak of our bringing back our king? But the words of the men of Judah were more violent than the charges of the men of Israel. Chapter 20. There happened to be there a base and contemptible fellow named Sheba, son of Bichri, a Benjamite. He blew a trumpet and said, we have no portion in David and no inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel. So all the men of Israel withdrew from David and followed Sheba, son of Bichri. But the men of Judah stayed faithfully with their king from the Jordan to Jerusalem. So David came to his house at Jerusalem, and the king took the 10 women, his concubines, whom he had left to keep the house, and put them away under guard and provided for them, but did not go into them. So they were shut up to the day of their death, living in widowhood. Then the king said to Amasa, "Assemble the men of Judah to me within 3 days, and you be present here." So Amasa went to assemble the men of Judah, but he tarried longer than the set time which had been appointed to him. And David said to Abishai, "Now will Sheba, son of Bichri, do us more harm than Absalom did. Take your Lord's servants and pursue him, lest he get for himself fenced cities and snatch away our very eyes." And there went after him Joab's men, and David's bodyguards, the Cherethites and Pelethites, and all the mighty men. They went out from Jerusalem to pursue Sheba, son of Bichri. When they were at the great stone in Gibeon, Amasa came to meet them. Joab was wearing a soldier's garment, and over it a sheathed sword fastened around his hips, and as he went forward it fell out. Joab said to Amasa, "Are you well, my brother?" And Joab took Amasa by the beard with the right hand as if to kiss him. But Amasa did not notice the sword in Joab's hand. So Joab struck him, who was to have been his successor, with it in the body, shedding his bowels to the ground without another blow, and soon he died. So Joab and Abishai's brother pursued Sheba, son of Bichri. And one of Joab's men stood by him and said, "Whoever favors Joab and is for David, follow Joab." And Amasa wallowed in his blood in the highway. And when the man saw that all the people who came by stood still, he removed Amasa out of the highway into the field and spread a cloth over him. When Amasa was removed from the highway, all the people went on after Joab to pursue Sheba, son of Bichri. Joab went through all the tribes of Israel to Abel of Beth Makkah, and all the Barites assembled and also went after Sheba ardently. And they came and besieged Sheba in Abel of Beth Makkah, and they cast up a siege mount against the city, and it stood against the rampart. And all the men with Joab battered and undermined the wall to make it fall. Then a wise woman of the city cried, "Hear, hear, say to Joab, come here so I can speak to you." And when he came near her, the woman said, "Are you Joab?" He answered, "I am." Then she said to him, "Hear the words of your handmaid." He answered, "I am listening." Then she said, "People used to say, let them but ask counsel at Abel." And so they settled the matter. "I am one of the peaceable and faithful in Israel. You seek to destroy a city which is a mother in Israel. Why will you swallow up the inheritance of the Lord?" Joab answered, far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. That is not true, but a man of the hill country of Ephraim, Sheba, son of Bichri, has lifted up his hand against King David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from the city." And the woman said, "Behold, his head shall be thrown to you over the wall." Then the woman in her wisdom went to all the people, and they cut off the head of Sheba, son of Bichri, and cast it down to Joab. So he blew the trumpet, and they retired from the city, and every man to his own home. And Joab returned to Jerusalem to the king. Joab was over the host of Israel. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, was over the king's bodyguards, the Cherethites and the Pelethites. Adoram was over the tribute. Jehoshaphat, son of Ahilud, was recorder. Sheva was scribe. And Zadok and Abiathar were the priests. Also, Irah the Jerahite was chief minister to David. Chapter 21. There was a 3-year famine in the days of David, year after year, and David inquired of the Lord. The Lord replied, "It is on account of Saul and his bloody house, for he put to death the Gibeonites." So the king called the Gibeonites. Now the Gibeonites were not Israelites, but of the remnant of the Amorites. The Israelites had sworn to spare them, but Saul in his zeal for the people of Israel and Judah had sought to slay the Gibeonites. So David said to the Gibeonites,
What shall I do for you? How can I make atonement that you may bless the Lord's inheritance? The Gibeonites said to him, We will accept no silver or gold of Saul or of his house, neither for us shall you kill any man in Israel. David said, I will do for you what you say. They said to the king, The man who consumed us and planned to prevent us from remaining in any territory of Israel, let 7 men of his sons be delivered to us, and we will hang them up before the Lord at Gibeah of Saul on the mountain of the Lord. And the king said, I will give them. But the king spared Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between David and Jonathan, son of Saul. But the king took the 2 sons of Rizpah, daughter of Aiah, whom she bore to Saul, Armoni and Mephibosheth, and the 5 sons of Merab, daughter of Saul, whom she bore to Adriel, son of Barzillai, the Meholathite. He delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hung them up on the hill before the Lord, and all 7 perished together. They were put to death in the first days of barley harvest. Rizpah, daughter of Aiah, took sackcloth and spread it for herself on the rock from the beginning of harvest until rain fell on them, and she did not allow either the birds of the air to come upon them by day or the beasts of the field by night. It was told David what Rizpah, son of Aiah, the concubine of Saul, had done. And David went and took the bones of Saul and Jonathan his son from the men of Jabesh-Gilead, who had stolen them from the street of Beth-shan, where the Philistines had hung them up when the Philistines had slain Saul in Gilboa. He brought from there the bones of Saul and of Jonathan his son, and they gathered the bones of those who were hung up. And the bones of Saul and Jonathan his son they buried in the country of Benjamin, in Zelah, in the tomb of Kish, Saul's father. And they did all that the king commanded. And after that, God heard and answered when his people prayed for the land. The Philistines had war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. And David became faint. Ishbi-benob, who was of the sons of the giants, the weight of whose spear was 300 shekels of bronze, was girded with a new sword and thought to kill David. But Abishai, son of Zeruiah, came to David's aid and smote and killed the Philistine. Then David's men charged him, You shall no more go out with us to battle, lest you quench the lamp of Israel. After this, there was again war with the Philistines at Gob, Gezer. Then Sibbecai the Hushathite slew Saph, Sippai, who was a descendant of the giant. There was again war at Gob with the Philistines, and Elhanan, son of Gerar, Orajim, a Bethlehemite, slew Goliath the Gittite, whose spear shaft was like a weaver's beam. And there was again war at Gath, where there was a man of great stature who had 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot, 24 in number. He also was a descendant of the giants. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan, son of Shimei, brother of David, slew him. These 4 were descended from the giant in Gath, and they fell by the hands of David and his servants. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's scripture readings, we were looking at the story from 2 Samuel chapter 19, where the end of the battle against Absalom, who had rebelled against King David, was at hand. Absalom had died in the battle, and Joab, David's captain, was returning to the city after the battle had been won. He totally expected that there would be rejoicing and feasting because Absalom had been defeated. The troops that had been with Absalom absolutely dispersed, leaving David the clear victor. But what he found shocked him. There was whispering and there was sneaking about, and nobody was rejoicing. And Joab was told, "Behold, the king is weeping and mourning for Absalom. He's covering his face, crying with a loud voice, 'Oh, my son Absalom, oh, Absalom, my son, my son.'" And this chapter, we find that Joab's reaction to King David's mourning, which was natural, this was his son, his beloved son, even though he had completely been disloyal and been rebellious and was trying to take the kingdom by force from his father David. So he was totally unfaithful to his own father and dishonored him as both king and father. And yet we find David mourning for him. Obviously, his love for Absalom was very deep, and the loss of a child is a tremendous and hurtful and tragic moment. How much more when that son had turned against you and you never were reconciled. Certainly David's grief was quite intense. And yet Joab was so angry with the response of David. Now, he could have been more gracious since he was in the moment of grief and loss, for sure. But he brought him a message that was really well needed by David, because here the troops that Joab had marshaled and led into battle against Absalom and his troops had given David a victory that saved his life and saved his crown, saved his reign as king. And yet David was showing absolutely no appreciation whatsoever because he was so focused on his own loss. Now, grief such as we see here absolutely is a natural thing, but it's really vital for any of us that go through a difficult time in our life where we become so self-absorbed that we can't see anything or anyone else in our life, that we need to get a grip on it and realize there are other people who need attention and encouragement as well. Joab probably wasn't the ideal candidate to bring this message to King David, but he laid it out for David quite clearly when he said that he now understood that David loved those who hated him and hated those who loved him. He basically told him, "Today you have covered the faces of all your servants with shame, who this very day have saved your life and the lives of your sons and your daughters." And so Joab's rebuking him for not being more sensitive to the fact that these men braved potential possible death in the battle to save the king. And yet David was so consumed with his own grief, his own feelings, that he wasn't having any feelings for his troops, his men who had risked their lives for him. And so they ended up sneaking around because they were so upset seeing David in total mourning. They felt humiliated instead of honored that they had won this battle and this victory and saved the king's life. And Joab told David this vital point. He said, "Today I see that if Absalom had lived and all the rest of us had died, you would be well pleased. And these princes and servants are nothing to you. You've declared this today." Joab told him, "By your behavior, you've basically said we are all worthless and have no meaning and no value to you. But if the one who had wronged you and dishonored you, rebelled against you, had lived, you'd be happy and wouldn't even care about the rest of us." So Joab is pointing out a very important point for David as a leader, because he was completely oblivious to the feelings of those who had just risked their lives on his behalf. he was not showing appreciation or gratitude for his troops saving his life, but instead was just consumed with his own feelings. Now, you can't blame a father for grieving or mourning, but he was not sensitive at all to those who had just saved his very life. And so Joab basically told him, if you don't do something about this right now, you're about to lose every single one of your troops. And so David took his counsel. He told him, arise, go out and speak kindly and encouragingly to your servants. For I swear by the Lord that if you do not go, not a man will remain with you this night. And this will be worse for you than all the evil that has befallen you from your youth until now. Now, Joab was a very rough character. You heard it as we have gone through the books of 1 and 2 Samuel, that Joab had no problem killing somebody at the drop of a hat, it would seem. And so he was a rough man. He wasn't a gentleman. And yet here he is telling David, go out and speak kindly and encouragingly to your troops. For I swear that if you don't go, not a man will remain with you this night. And Joab brings up a very critical point, and that is the tremendous need that every single human being has for encouragement, affirmation, words being spoken kindly to them, appreciation for what a person has done. And this issue of making sure you appreciate people is something I think that's often lost today. People are expected to do things, and a lot of times there's no appreciation that's shown for the work they do, or perhaps for their service or their faithfulness, whether it's to an employer, to a church, as a volunteer, or just in your family. Imagine Joab being the one to tell him, go out and speak kindly and encouragingly, or you're going to lose everyone. And you know, that is the truth in life. If we are not very watchful of how we speak to people, that we are an encourager to people, that we speak kindly to people, that we appreciate those we work with, those who work for us, those who serve us, whether it's in a restaurant or in your family. Are you appreciative if you're married for your spouse? Do you speak kindly and encouragingly to your spouse? What about your children? Do you appreciate them? Do you value them? Do you see their strengths and praise those strengths? Do you speak kindly and encouragingly to them? Are you always harsh, always critical, always pointing out their failures, always pointing out that they haven't made it up to the standards that you require of them? I tell you, if you don't speak kindly and encouragingly, those people in your life will not remain with you. Joab told David, they won't remain with you this night if you don't go out right now and speak kindly and encouragingly to those who have just sacrificed for you. This is such an important point for us. A lot of times we miss the moments when we need to appreciate and show appreciation for those around us, because we are so consumed with our own issues, with our own feelings, with our own perceptions of everything. We're so consumed with our own emotional feelings at the moment that we don't appreciate those around us who have stood with us. David's troops, David's men had stayed with him through thick and thin, and now rebellion in his own camp, his own son trying to take his life and take his throne. And these soldiers had fought for David. They had stayed by his side. They had not rebelled against him. And yet David, in a moment of just self-absorption because of his own loss, wasn't even aware of the needs of those around him, just for a little bit of appreciation. It's interesting. Napoleon has often been called a military genius, and he was an amazing leader. In fact, many people have said that he was had a superb natural leadership ability, and men would follow him literally to the ends of the earth. And it's interesting that it has been written about Napoleon that he was very aware that his success as a leader, military leader, would have been nothing had his men not been willing and even eager to follow him into battle and to help him win the wars that he won. Obviously, he could not know every single soldier in his entire army, but he devised a very simple technique for making his men feel like he knew them and appreciated them. And I think this was quite genius. He would visit the regiments and inspect the troops, as a military leader will often do. And he would, before he would do that inspection, he would call one of his colonels aside and ask him, "Give me the name of a soldier who served well in the previous campaign, but had not been given any credit for his very excellent service in the battle." And the colonel would give him that information, the name of that person. And then Napoleon would learn everything he could about that one man, where he was born, the names of his family members, his personal exploits in battle, what great things he had done as a soldier. And then later on, when he was reviewing the troops and walking past the soldiers, the colonel would signal him when he got in front of that soldier that he had told him all about. And then he would stop, he would shake his hand, greet him warmly, ask him about his family, compliment him on his bravery, his loyalty, recount his specific valor in battle, and then put a medal on his chest of this soldier. And it was said that the soldiers in Napoleon's army had this amazing sense that Napoleon knew every one of them, because he had done this. He would do this every campaign, after every battle, and it made the soldiers feel like he actually knew them, that he really remembered them, that he remembered their families. He knew that they had served him well, and that it made his soldiers so very loyal to him. David wasn't quite as wise in that particular area, and yet it's a word for all of us. And there are many other people that you could probably share about who have lived lives that were unappreciated. There was a great writer from some centuries back who had a very devoted wife who had sacrificed everything for the sake of this man so that he would be successful in his career. But she lived a very unappreciated life. He had never, in his entire marriage, given her a single expression of appreciation, which is what she just longed for from him. And then when she died in London, this man, Carlyle, read her diary, and later he was found by a friend at her graveside weeping and suffering great remorse, saying, "If only I had known." It's important for us to know that every single human being that we encounter needs to feel appreciated, and that expressions of appreciation, simple words of encouragement, the very simple counsel that Joab gave to David, "Go out and speak kindly and encouragingly to your servants. If you don't, they will not remain with you." That goes for your family, that goes for your wife, that goes for your husband, that goes for your employees, that goes for those you work with who serve you in some capacity. Make sure you go out and speak kindly and encouraging. Do that encouragingly. Do that with your children. When they show you the smallest bit of obedience, of doing things kindly for their siblings, anything, compliment them, encourage them, speak kindly to them, and you will win their hearts, because every human being needs appreciation, and this is a message that we can see in today's scripture reading. So find someone in your life that perhaps you've managed to overlook and not show or speak appreciation to. Do that today. You'll bless their heart for sure. God bless you and give you a victorious week.